welcome to Three from the Seven, Relix's weekly news podcast, chronicling one, two, three, uno, dos, tres of the biggest news stories from the last 7 days. My name is Raf Kenny Sincada. They tell me I'm the associate editor of Relix Magazine, and I am joined by the woman, the myth, the legend, the mother, the daughter, the Holy Ghost, Miss Karina Reichman.
Hey, the mother, daughter, and the Holy Ghost, dude? That's deep. That's a lot of weight to carry on my shoulders, but I like it. I like it a lot.
It's a holy triumvirate, I think.
Holy Trinity. Yes, I'll take it. I'll take what I can get. Hi, Raf. Good morning.
Good afternoon, Karina.
Oh, yeah, afternoon, if you're being all literal about it, absolutely. Aye. You know, time has no meaning, as we've talked about, and actually, you know what I'm doing? I used to sleep until, you know, noon 30, and I'm scaling it back here. I'm scaling it back, Raf. What about yourself? How's your sleep schedule? Oh, I guess these are your employers as well, the Relix people, so we probably shouldn't out, you know.
I wake up promptly for work every day, Karina.
Yes, you do.
And then I work my 8 hours. I clock in, I clock out, and I am so glad to be working for Relix Media Group and Dayglo Ventures.
Yay, you heard it here first. Yes, I shouldn't have even asked. But yes, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. You hear that, everybody? The higher-ups?
But on the weekend? Oh, come on. It's noon.
Oh, yeah.
Easy. I'm a night owl. I'm a late sleeper. I enjoy the dark times. I don't enjoy the
creature
mornings.
Of the night. Yes.
I'm a creature of the night. A great song by Tijuana Panthers, if anyone wants some beach rock to enjoy. Do you know that song, Karina?
I don't. I'm going to look that up immediately.
It's called Creature. They say Creature of the Night. That's me.
By Tijuana what?
Tijuana Panthers. They're like a
Tijuana
surf rock band. It's a kick-ass song. It's great for, you know, just a beach bash.
I love that.
If you're drinking
a
twisted tea or something, it's a good jam.
Oh, man. How about a Mai Tai?
Ooh. See, that's how you know Karina's like a level above me on the drinking game. I'm like, you know, when you drink a twisted tea. And Karina's like, what about an actual cocktail? What about a Mai Tai?
I think it's great. How about a painkiller made with fresh nutmeg in the British Virgin Islands?
Ooh.
Fabulous. That's what we're doing. Raf, you and I, after this is all over and we feel comfortable getting on an airplane again, I'm taking you to the Virgin Islands and you and I are going to sip Mai Tais and painkillers on the beach.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be just the most next level shit that anybody's ever even seen. And thankfully, nobody will see it. You know,
that
except for the lovely locals.
Yes.
Yeah, the tourists, the locals.
I missed out on my I'm missing out on my tropical winter getaway this year because Jam Cruise is tragically canceled, and that was my little getaway to warm weather every January. But I'll take it up on a Virgin Islands trip with Karina Reichman. Aren't you going out to Fire Island at some point this week?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're gonna get some beach, some fun in the sun.
Totally. I mean, I've had a lot. We've had a pool upstate in Rhinebeck, so I've been swimming every day. But, it'll be good to get in the ocean. I need that salt. You know, I like that salt in my hair.
A pool cannot compare to an ocean.
It can't. It really can't. Though, let me tell you, not complaining about a pool ever.
No.
Love the pool. But, yeah, the salt, you know. Everybody, y'all know what I'm talking about. For those of you who are listening, still, bless your hearts. And secondly, you know, I haven't made any quote-unquote public appearances in the last million months, but the pool that I've been swimming in, you know, I'm blonde. I don't know if you know this, but it turns my hair green.
Yikes.
The chlorine. So I swear, Raf, like all my friends are making fun of me. They call me Billie Eilish.
Oh my God.
Like,
I was about to say that. I was about to be like, green hair is very in Billie Eilish.
Right. No, exactly. And that's my new vibe. And everybody's like, and the new bit is that I come out downstairs and I'm like in the morning I'm like, hey everybody, my hair doesn't look that green today, does it? And everybody's like, yes it does, Karina, yes it still is green, you're just deluded. But anyway, I think the ocean salt water is gonna cure me of my green, and I'm gonna go back to blonde, baby. Back to blonde.
That's the name of the new Karina Reichman record.
Hey!
Karina Reichman, back to blonde.
Not to be confused with Blonde on Blonde
or Back in Black by AC/DC.
Right. No. Can't. Yeah. Wow. Exactly. Anyway, enough about me, Raph. What do we got today? What's going on? Talk to me.
Over at Rolling Stone have ranked the 50 greatest bassists of all time. And Karina, I feel like you're an expert in this field. You've been known to pluck a string or two. Phil Lesh is on there. George Porter Jr. is on there. But I know at least in the Relic staff, in our big group G chat, there's been some debate over these rankings. So just to run down the top 10. Number one, it goes James Jamerson, Charles Mingus, John from The Who, Bootsy Collins, Carol Kay, Jack Bruce, Larry Graham, Jaco Pastorius, Paul McCartney, Ron Carter. That's your top 10 right there. It's good, it's not great. I'm going to be honest, Karina. Mr. Phil Lesh sails in at number 11. Not happy as a deadhead, personally.
You would like to see Phil a little higher. Is that what you're trying to say?
My big sticking point is I love the Beatles. I love Paul McCartney. But to me, Paul McCartney is not. And you changed my opinion, Karina. If I'm totally in the wrong, let me know. I don't see Paul McCartney as a bassist. I see Paul McCartney as one of the greatest songwriters of all time, as 1/4 of one of the greatest bands of all time. He plays keys. He'd been known to play drums from time to time. And he honestly does play the bass. Obviously, he's a bassist. But to me, he's not one of the greatest bassists of all time. And I would put Phil Lesh. Phil Lesh could play circles around Paul McCartney on the bass. Am I wrong?
You know, I mean, I'm not saying it's a very, first of all, it's a very complicated debate here, just because, like, you know, when you get these top 10 lists and top 100 lists and whatnot, like, you know, on what grounds are we putting this all, you know, together? You know what I'm saying? Like, Paul, while I understand what you're saying, but I mean, he's just incredible. If you know, and I of course I agree with you on the songwriting tip and whatnot, and I'm not saying that, you know, perhaps you know, technically speaking, Phil can you know, kind of flex on him a little bit, but if you listen to those Beatles tunes, I mean, the bass is so important and actually subtly kind of tucked in there, which I think makes him just literally one of the greatest of all time to ever do it. I'm not disputing Paul in there, per se, because I think, and honestly, my dear bass guru, Dave Drywitz, who should be in this list, he talks, you know, he kind of opened my eyes to this many years ago, and he would, like, play Beatles tunes and be like, do you know, like, do you hear that? And, like, just the tunes that you've been hearing your entire life, you haven't really picked up on how important the bass line is until you actually kind of get in there and, like, make a concerted effort to listen to it. And holy shit, I mean, anyway, who's to say, you know?
No, that's fair. Now I'm thinking, like, to argue against myself, a song like Day Tripper has, like, a fantastic bass line.
Well, sure. Yeah, absolutely. And, well, that's, yes, of course. But even, I don't know, if you listen to Something or if you listen to even, I don't know, there are so many of them that you would be shocked if you just, like, kind of sit down and actually try to pick out what Paul's doing, because it's often pretty deep, in my opinion. But anyway, all these things, like, you know, my personal top 10 would look a little different just in terms of who's influenced me the most and, like, who I just like stylistically. But, I mean, I agree to put James Jamerson at number one because just the sheer volume of material and the sheer, like, just the influence just so profoundly affecting just about everyone, whether you know it or not.
Yeah.
It's pretty intense.
So, and then so many of those, so many of those Motown bass lines that Jamerson did are just iconic.
So iconic. And of course, like, you know, I feel like, unless you're a real bass head, like, maybe less of a household name than a lot of the dudes on this top 10 list, which is a shame, honestly, because he's, you know, it's James Jamerson, dude. But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't argue against any of that. And Phil, you know, of course, it's hard to, you know, with the Grateful Dead and Phil's role in it, it's a really interesting role, and especially as a bass player who's spent plenty of time trying to kind of dissect what it is he's doing when I learned the tunes and whatnot. And it's like, you know, he has such an original, weird, he never lands on the one, he never, like, you know, plays the same thing twice. It's all just kind of like this fluid stream of consciousness vibe where he somehow always knows what to hit, but there's kind of no rhyme or reason to it a lot of the time. I mean, it's, of course, like, it all makes sense when you're doing it, but it's kind of really hard to replicate And I say that with, you know, having studied this stuff for a long time. So I'm with, like, you know, it's an amazing thing. But if you're measuring it just based on, you know, sheer chops or groove or, you know, songwriting or you know what I mean? Or like just like iconic bass lines. I wouldn't say that many of the Grateful Dead's tunes are just like, oh yeah, that's that iconic bass line.
True. Very true.
In the Grateful Dead. You know what I'm saying? Even though, of course, you know, it's my favorite thing ever. And it's not about that. It's about, like, you know, this other kind of thing that Phil brings to the table, which I was just talking about. But anyway, it's hard to say.
Lists like these are always apples and oranges. I mean, like, how do you compare, like, Les Claypool to, like, Bootsy Collins? You know what I mean? But Les came in at 30. Exactly. Les came in at 36. Our boy George Porter Jr. came in at 41, which I thought was a bit of a travesty. George being, you know, he invented funk pockets, you know, things that people do on the regular are George Porter Jr. inventions. The Meters having, you know, been the godfathers to the godfathers of funk. So I wish George could have got placed a little higher, but I think, you know, and then as far as just snubs, no Victor Wooten on here. No Victor Wooten. Isn't that crazy?
That's insane.
Of course, of the Flecktones. And he, oh my God, just as far as like conceptual, you know, the way he describes playing music is like, I could listen to him talk forever. I'm actually looking at my bookshelf right now. His book, The Music Lesson, is sitting there all nice and pretty. Wooten is just a scholar of the bass and just like a spiritual master of it in general. No Christian McBride. I think Christian McBride is one of the best jazz bassists alive right now, just as far as like variety. And then also, you know, like the Phish fan in me is like, oh, no Mike Gordon, but like, that's fine. Like, I don't think Gordo's, you know. I'm not nearly as upset about, you know, Gordo not being on there as I am about no Victor Wooten or George should have been placed a little higher. Is there anything else on here, Karina, that you think should have been swapped around a little bit?
I agree with your points for the most part. I wish George Porter was bumped up a little bit. I think that would have been a good nod to, you know, everything that he created. That's crazy, no Victor Wooten. And, I mean, I'm a huge Mike fan. Mike would be in my top 100, no question. But, you know, it's tough. It's tough when you can't make room for everybody, you know? And bass, you know, bass is the place, baby. Bass is the place. True. Where's our boy Dave Schools, man? What's going on?
Oh, yeah. Where is Schools? Oh, man. If you haven't heard the opening bass line of Chilly Water and just completely, like, completely your face fell off. You don't know what bass
Blight?
Is.
Yeah. How about the Blight intro, dude? That Blight intro can call me. Oh,
wait, can I tell
great.
A quick... We're going to keep moving, everybody. But can I tell a quick Widespread Panic story about the
Please.
Song Blight? Oh, my God.
Yes.
The year, I believe 2018 or 2017, when Widespread was headlining the Suwannee Festival at the beautiful Spirit of Suwannee Music Park in the wonderful Live Oak, Florida. I'm down there. I'm rocking that Relics table. If you bought a subscription at Suwannee when Widespread was there, it was from me and my brother. We're there, we're raging, we're having a great time. I meet a wonderful man by the name of, fuck, what was his name? Whatever, he was this great Southern dude, awesome guy. If I can remember his name, I'll say it. But anyway, super cool dude, him and his wife's name was Tammy. They were Southern as hell, he's wearing a Georgia Dogs hat. We're partying with them, having a great time. It's like you meet him at the show, we're having a great time, whatever. Out of nowhere, they start playing Blight. He turns to me and my brother and screams at the top of his lungs, oh my God, a blight! It's hitting me right between the eyes! It's hitting me right between the eyes! And he like threw his hat down on the ground in like such a Southern beautiful way. I was just like, man, Widespread fans are crazy and I love it.
That's the best. Oh my God.
Oh man, if you're out there, bud, email me, raffandkarina@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. His wife's name was Tammy, and I wish for the life of me I could remember his name, but he was a cool dude, and Blight hit him right between the eyes.
I love that. I really, really feel that. Oh, man, I miss going to panic shows. I feel like when this is all over, Raff, like, also, you know, we're planning for the British Virgin Islands, obviously, but also we probably should never miss another panic show. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I will be...
Like, ever.
Yeah. I will be at the next Phish show, whatever, wherever it is, and I am rapidly thinking I'll be at the next panic show, wherever it is.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan.
Yeah, and, like, especially, like, I got such a good taste of it at that Beacon Run. Like, I think that was, what, in April? Like, right before this all went down, so
you mean February.
February. Time is a flat circle, you know.
It totally is.
But anyway, Moving on, our second story of the week. John Prine has been selected as Illinois's first honorary poet laureate. Prine, who passed in April, is the first ever poet laureate of the state of Illinois. The governor named him that on June 30th. Prine, of course, being born and raised in Illinois. He also was discovered in Chicago by the one and only Chris Christopherson, a golden child of the state of Illinois. Very, very cool. And I thought that for this story, Karina, because we've talked about John Prine a bunch since his passing, I thought a cool thing for us to talk about is who would be the poet laureates of other states. So who do you think? So let's say musicians. Governors of every state are naming, you know, musicians dead or alive to be the poet laureate of certain states. Who do you think would be the poet laureate of New York?
Oh, dude. Intense question. I mean, this is just knee-jerk reaction. First thing that comes to mind. You may like it. You may not. Joey Ramone.
Great choice.
Right? Like, come on. It's just the birth, you know, I feel like New York punk, man. And he's the guy. He's the emblem. He's the symbol. He spoke it. He did it. The Ramones, so quintessentially New York. I don't know. What do you got?
Although he was born in the UK, Mr. David Byrne, I think, would be a great poet laureate of the state of New York.
You know, Totally. And that was my second knee-jerk reaction, absolutely. And you know, he's still with us. You know, he's more, you know, it makes more sense to, you know, don the title poet laureate upon him, perhaps, than it does Joey Ramone. And I'm with that. I would vote for that.
Yeah. 100%. Or Lou Reed for New York, I think, would be another good one.
Oh, shit. Good call. Oh, my God. I mean, we have a lot of...
We do. New York's easy. New York's got so many choices because we obviously have the greatest city in the world.
Right.
But I was thinking of other states off the top of my head. Florida, Tom Petty. Easy.
Totally.
Minnesota, Prince. Easy. California.
I like those.
Jerry Garcia, perhaps.
Hey! Mike Love. Just kidding.
Oh, boy.
Jerry Garcia. Let's go with that. Oh, man.
I'm trying to think of wherever Dolly Parton is from, she should be the poet laureate of wherever that is. Wherever Dollywood is. Should be Dolly Parton.
Right. That's in, I'm gonna get it wrong and be so embarrassed, but I'm pretty sure it is.
I just looked, Tennessee.
Can you hear me Googling?
Yeah,
that's, I'm like, I know it's Tennessee, but if I get that wrong and people are like, what are you talking about? That would be really a shame. Absolutely. Let's go for Dolly, Tennessee. What the hell? You know, Billy Gibbons, Texas.
Georgia, you know it's Mr. John Bell.
Panic, dude. Panic.
That WSMFP. Ooh, who do you think would be Louisiana? Who's like a New Orleans artist that you think should really be like Alan
Dr. John, man.
Oh, Dr. John. Oh,
the corpse of Dr. John.
Oh my God.
Gotta do it. Alan Saint, not a bad idea either. Very good. Very good.
Professor Longhair.
Oh, good call. How about Andre 3000 for Georgia, dude?
Ooh,
ATL. Just throwing it in there. Anyway, I'm just saying.
Just Outkast, saying. Both of them.
Yeah, maybe both of them.
Big Boy and Andre 3000, co-poet laureates of the state of Georgia.
I love it.
I'd be down for it. I'd be super down.
Me too.
For it.
I like this game.
What about Vermont? You think Fish is getting it?
I think Fish ought to get it for the state of Vermont, personally.
Or what about Bernie Sanders?
All right. Him too.
The burn dog. He can do anything.
How about like a co-Bernie Fishman, you know?
Oh, that almost like would be dope.
Just like a double bill, poet laureates united.
And just Bernie Sanders making a soul-stirring speech for revolution with a vacuum solo beneath it.
Yeah, I love that. And obviously Jersey, you know, sorry Jovi, but it's got to go to the boss.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
be Springsteen.
Definitely the boss.
Quintessential. Ooh, I love this game. Oh my God. Now I'm just thinking about
I know.
The whole
I'm trying to think of like Boston, like Massachusetts. My knee-jerk reaction is the Dropkick Murphys.
Mine too. That's what I just it's so funny what comes to mind when you think of a specific band from a place. And it's just like, oh yeah, the Dropkick Murphys, Boston's finest. But, you know, of course, there are a million other things that I'm just not thinking of.
I just read that Portugal the Man is from Alaska. So are they the only famous people from Alaska?
Yeah, just about. So we should probably go for that. They've been around for just a quarter of the time of everybody else that we've mentioned, but they should absolutely get it.
Here's a good one. Washington State. So, like, what, like, Seattle band?
Oh, dude. I mean,
so is it Eddie Vedder or Kurt Cobain? You know,
I know, right? That's the whole thing. It's like, do you want to give it to someone who's deceased or someone who can, you know, in their lifetime, you know, understand that they're receiving the beautiful award or whatever, or, you know, at least they're the poet laureate. Let's give it to Vedder. I don't know. Or, I mean, yeah. Wow. So many of them are dead. It's very sad. Very sad. It could have been Lane. It could have been Kurt. Could have been Chris. Man. Tough, very tough. If we're keeping it light, let's give it to Eddie Vedder.
Yo, for wait, is Ween from Jersey or Pennsylvania? Whichever one.
Pennsylvania.
Oh, dude, then Pennsylvania should be literally Diener and Jeaner.
I mean, I got nothing to say about it other than hell motherfucking yeah.
Move over, Disco Biscuits. Pennsylvania goes to Ween.
Yeah, baby. Oh, I love it.
But, yeah, I think that's all the ones I could think of. For Massachusetts, it could be Aerosmith, too. I'm, like, quickly looking at the most famous people, most famous bands from each state.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good call. Does it have to be one person, or can it be the whole band?
Let's expand it to bands.
All right, great. Aerosmith gets the title for Massachusetts. Perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
I went to, I briefly rubbed elbows with Joe Perry's sons, plural, they went to BU when I was at Northeastern. So,
oh, excellent.
I was just like, oh, your dad's Joe Perry. And they were like, yep. And I was like, cool. And walked away.
Wow. That's great. That's a, you know, great time to be alive.
Yeah, right? Totally. I was like, man, Boston's the greatest.
It's like, man, this place rules.
College is dope.
Wow. I love it. But, well, you're the poet laureate of Long Island. I'll just say.
Hell yeah. I don't know. Walt Whitman might have that one.
Oh shit. Or
Walt
Billy
Whitman's
Joel.
From like Route 110 in Long Island. So I'll give it to him. He's a cool dude.
All right. That's nice.
Yeah, I did look up the most famous musician. This random list I just looked up. They said Billy Joel for New York, and I was like, I love Billy Joel, but I'm not giving it to him. Sorry. It's gonna be any of those people we said earlier. It's gotta be Byrne or Joey Ramone or Lou Reed or Joni Mitchell, right? Maybe? I don't know. But anyway.
Is she from here?
I think she lives here, but that's also like David Byrne's not from here, but he is from
that's
here.
True.
You know,
I don't think of Joni Mitchell as quintessential New York. Sorry.
Really? That's weird. Hold on. I really don't. Off? Oh, she's from Canada. Mean,
yeah, she's totally Canadian, dude.
What?
But I don't know. Maybe does she live here? Who knows?
Ooh, who's the poet laureate
listening?
of Canada? Neil Young? Oh, no, it can't be Neil Young because he's an American citizen now.
Oh, Geddy Lee, dude.
Who?
Look, Geddy Lee.
Oh,
let's
yeah.
just give it up.
Hell yeah. Just
let's
Rush
give it up to
in
Rush.
General. I would definitely. Yeah. I think the entire country of Canada would be down with that for sure.
I think so too. Why not? Or let's pretend that. Or, you know, let's make sure it's not Drake or Bieber. You know what I'm saying? Oof. That's too. We can't have that.
I mean,
anyway.
Even Canada knows they're better than that. Come on.
Yeah, I would hope so.
But cool. If anybody has any other ideas, email us, raffandkarina@gmail.com, if we're missing any big ones.
Did you know I'm a Canadian citizen as well, Raph? Did you know that about me?
I think I might have, because isn't, like, your mom from Toronto?
Yeah, she's from Belgium and then moved to Toronto
yeah,
when she was 14.
Exactly. She
so
moved,
like
from
yeah.
Europe to Toronto.
Totally.
So do you have
so,
two passports?
You know, I got that passport, y'all. I got that passport. And Canada, I'm not going to lie to you, I might come a-knockin' because this country is... seen better days. I'm really sorry to put
weak
it that
sauce.
Way, but
yeah.
Whoa, just saying, things are a little twisted here, so I might need a little of that maple syrup up north and that free healthcare for all citizens. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
What a life! Oh my gosh, do you like
something
hockey?
Called an-
That's kind of like a requirement.
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, I'm not mad about it.
You just
my
failed the Canadian
do.
Citizenship test. They're not letting you in.
Right, totally.
Do you like hockey?
Shouldn't.
Yeah, no, not really.
Yeah. I like maple syrup. I like moose, or rather caribou. I like the loony. I like the toonie. You know what I'm saying?
There
those
go.
Are good.
Do you like, what are those fries they have in poutine?
Poutine.
Do you like that?
Yeah, I like poutine. Totally. Yeah. Totally. I like Belly Buster subs. Shout out to Belly Buster subs. Greatest sandwich in Toronto. But go to the one on Young and York Mills, not the one downtown on King Street or wherever the hell it's on. That's the new one. Fuck that one. Just kidding. Love you guys. It's great. But go to the OG. Thank you. If you're going to Toronto anytime soon or you're there, maybe you're a Canadian listener. How's our Canadian listenership, Raph?
I don't know. I should look. The program we use can show me a map of who's listening where. So maybe.
I'd like that.
We could have a fan club in Canada. We don't even know.
We have no idea. Oh my God. Well, moving on, Raph. This has been great. I've loved doing this with you. That was really
it was a good game.
Pleasant. Great game. And this next story doesn't look, it's not very uplifting.
I know.
Unfortunately. But, you know, we got to talk about it. We got to do it. It's part of what's going on. So you want to hit the people with this?
As anybody, you know, under the age of 35 in our scene knows, Bass Nectar is stepping back from his career amid, dare I say, very damning sexual misconduct allegations. There's an Instagram that came out a few days ago called @evidenceagainstBassNectar. Just find out for yourself. Go to that Instagram. It is very damning, very obvious. Bass Nectar basically said, it's not true, but I'm completely quitting music. 30-something-year-old dude shouldn't hook up with teenagers. It's pretty obvious. It seems pretty cut and dry to me. Karina, do you have anything to add? I mean, I feel bad for anyone who has a Bass Nectar tattoo. It was a bad tattoo to begin with, and now you definitely should get rid of it.
You should probably color over that with something else, you know? You should probably figure out your Bass Nectar tattoo. I mean, you know, it's a shame. I don't know. It's too bad when things like this happen, obviously, because I know I'm, you know, not exactly Bass Nectar fan number one, but I'm not anti, you know, before all of this, and I want people to enjoy the music they enjoy, but it's a shame when so, you know, it's just glaringly obvious dude was doing really twisted stuff, and that's not cool. I totally combed through that account, the @evidenceagainstBassNectar Bass Nectar account, and, you know, just read through so many of these things, and it just seemed like repeated after repeated after repeated offense with, like, 16-year-old girls, and the way he was talking to them was so, like, creepy, and he was like, oh, I'm so glad you got an A on your paper.
Ugh.
Smiley face, did you, you know, write what I told you to? I just want the best for you, and all this stuff, and I'm just like, oh, I don't, yeah.
The whole thing is so icky, like, it's gross, like.
Totally, and the word grooming, which is, you know, come out, you know, of, like, the way he was talking to these girls, like, it wasn't exact, you know. It wasn't the most explicit stuff I've ever read, but it was a lot of, like, you know, kind of just mind games and gaslighting and weird kind of stuff where, I don't know, I don't appreciate that. And that's totally abuse as well. And just an abuse of power when you're, you know, a person in the spotlight or somebody that these young girls do look up to. And, you know, by look up to, I mean, like, literally, like, you're on stage and you're, like, the person of interest in there. Young and dumb and, you know, want what you got and want you, and, you know that, and you abuse that, and that's a fucking shame. You shouldn't, you know? And of course it's tough. It's tough when you're, you know, you get all kind of diluted with your kind of power trip, and it's complicated, and how do you have a normal relationship? Well, you gotta make an effort, and can't be like that. There's so many accounts where he's flying these 16-year-olds like around the country to hang out with them in a hotel room for 4 days, and then he like gives them $1,000 in cash and tells them they can't tell anybody. Like, what the hell is that supposed to do to these young girls' brains? And like, just in general, like, it's fucked. I don't know. I'm not into it, and it's a shame.
Yeah.
And if he wasn't guilty, would he really be stepping away from music? Like, what's that about? That's the questionable portion of all this as well, right? Wouldn't you say?
No, yeah. I mean, I obviously commend all these women for coming forward. And I think, you know, when someone is 16, they're not even themselves yet. Do you know what I mean? So it's like...
Totally.
So when for a 30-something-year-old who is a fully formed person with, you know, rational thinking skills to be, you know, grooming a young girl and talking about her high school homework, it's just, and yeah, and if you ever need to tell someone, don't tell anyone about this, you're doing something wrong. So obviously believe women. And obviously sometimes it takes time for a 16-year-old girl to realize 5 years later, oh shit, that thing I did that I thought was cool at the time was actually really fucked up. And that 30-year-old dude should have known better than to like literally fly me out when I was a literal child. So yeah, I've raged Bass Nectar shows in the past, obviously will never listen to Bass Nectar again. Super gross, super icky. Definitely glad he's going off into the distance and never coming back. And yeah, please, for the love of God, if you have a Bass Nectar tattoo, put something cooler on it. Put a Steal Your Face over it. You'll never regret loving the Grateful Dead. Just,
that's
gross.
Right. Yeah, no bueno. No bueno. I agree with you. You know, you're not fully developed when you're 16, and, you know, you better be by the time you're in your mid-30s and whatever, and just, you know, wait till they turn 18, man. Wait till they turn... Or may I suggest maybe 19 and a half. That would be even better. Not a long time to wait. Anyway, that's just a terrible joke I just made. But anyway, good talk.
But anyway, and, yeah.
I digress. This is bad. Everybody, you know, and if you're, you know... I don't even know statement I'm about to make.
Exactly.
But.
The music industry has problems. The music industry has tons of problems. We see it with, you know, obviously representation having to do with things like Black Lives Matter and people speaking out about that. And we also see it in terms of this type of behavior, that there's a lot of people that not only just Bass Nectar, there's a lot of people who are, you know, complicit in that type of behavior, who looked the other way when shit was going down. So basically, everyone should just be doing better and like holding themselves and the people around them to a higher standard, whether it has to do with misogyny, sexism, racism, all of this stuff. We are human beings. We are capable. We put a man on the moon. We can be respectful to one another. And that's pretty much all I have to say about that.
Oh, yeah. I'm not even going to tarnish that amazing statement with any of my drivel. That was fantastic. I agree.
Thank you.
Implicitly. Completely. Wow.
Well, on that note, Karina, we've come. Oh, thanks, girl. On that note, we've come to the end of our road. Oh, appreciate it. We've come to the end of our road. Subscribe to Relics. I know that's a weird pivot, but we are doing our best to, you know, give you the music you want to know, give you the news you need to know. Go to relics.com/support. We have an awesome new issue out right now called The Power of Live Issue. We all miss live music, and this entire issue is dedicated to how important and how pivotal that experience is for every single one of us. You can follow us on Instagram at 3from7. We are trying to get our social media footprint out there. Like I've said many times, email us at raffandkarina@gmail.com. It is a Relics Media Group production. Will Schwert, as always, is doing great production stuff from us on the back end. Karina, any final words for our fam, for our friends, for our listeners, for someone who just stumbled upon this for the first time? You have any final words before we bid them adieu?
Oh, man. You know, this has been great, Raph. Highlight of my week, let me just say. And I think we covered a lot of ground. The trivial, the necessary, the downright dirty. We had to do it. We went there. And that's what this podcast is, Raph. We take no shit and we do exactly what we want to do. And we cover the biggest news stories from the last 7 days in our little sphere, the music sphere. It's my favorite sphere. I choose to rage with you inside the sphere till the cows come home. So for all you listening, thank you for tuning in. The good, the bad, the ugly. We hope this last, 36 minutes or whatever it was, has taken you on a little journey outside the realms of, your day-to-day. This is great. I'm so happy to be here. My name's Karina Reichman. Signing out. Thank you, Raph.
Bye-bye.